If you'd like to turn over and start with me, I'll begin in Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter. It is good to see you. It's good to be with you again. We've all also, it's always a blessing to be able to come, not only on Sunday mornings, be here on a dark, bright, beautiful morning, but also to be here on an evening when the day begins to close and be with another group that enjoys worshiping God, going to Him in prayer, being able to sing some beautiful songs. It's good to be with you. And I hope it's a blessing for you as we all gather here. In Luke, the 12th chapter, and we read down, beginning at about verse 37. Luke, the 12th chapter, about verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Verse 38. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. There's a song I saw on the book this afternoon, the song book this day, and it's one we've sang so many times. 320. Yeah, will Jesus find us watching? And it comes from this very passage as I was looking at it. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we are restored our talents, will he answer thee, well done. Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Interesting, she would say, find us watching. Fanny J. Crosby is the one that wrote it. But those are words, how many times we've sang that song? I don't know, in our lifetimes. Will Jesus find us watching? It's always that question that we can ask ourselves as we read through the Bible. It's not just the idea of maybe learning some information we never have seen or heard before, or maybe a subject that we haven't considered or studied about, which is possible when you get over into Psalms or Isaiah or something like that. It'd be very easy to find some issues and scriptures and things that we haven't considered before. But has there been a point in our time in which we clearly, on a regular basis, stop and think about, will the Lord find me watching as he comes at the end of time? Just verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. And why is that? Well, because that's how we're going to be judged. And so when we have this question, will Jesus find us watching? Let me just suggest some things to you that comes to my mind. First of all, it's going to demand that we prepare ourselves. We can't prepare somebody else. If we're going to be prepared, it's going to be us that do that. And unless, you know, we all understand, especially in our busy society, our demanding society, unless we are preparing to succeed at whatever it is we try to do, whether you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, own a business, or you want to go schooling or maybe do something else, with the demands of our society, we have to be focused on what we would like, what our plans are, and we have to work toward that and prepare for it. And if we don't prepare to succeed at something, it's most likely we're preparing to fail at something. And we don't like to think of that, because we're very much responsible for everything that happens. We have to have an expectation on our part that the Lord one day will return, and as a result, prepare ourselves. And that's what we're getting at when we read there in Luke 12 and verse 40. Be therefore ready also. Be ready for what? To meet him when the Lord comes. And who is this going to have to prepare? Well, everybody, really, aren't they? Everybody's going to have to obey the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So everybody's going to have to do that. They're going to have to prepare on their own, but also we're going to have to do it as children of God. You read over in Acts, the second chapter, down into about verse 30, this statement is made. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. We're going to have to recognize the one that we are having to deal with is that resurrected one, and prepare for the judgment of the Lord. Over in Acts, the 10th chapter, when Peter shows up at Cornelius' household, in Acts, the 10th chapter, we read down at about verse 40, he makes this statement. He says, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Verse 41, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. We have to recognize that we're going to answer to this one, like 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, it's coming a time when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a demand we're going to have, and we can't do it just haphazardly. We've got to visualize and focus a place and a time that we're prepared to meet the Lord, and that means we have to change our lives in so many ways to be ready to meet him. We must be prepared if death comes first. It might be that we would die in a car wreck, or we might be called just one day when we were just thinking we were very, very healthy. James, the 4th chapter, and James says in verse 15, he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this. It might not be that we might not live. We might not be able to do that. I mean, then this is the point. I mean, why is it that we must prepare? Because one day we're going to meet him, and we might meet him simply because we passed from this life. Brother Ray Peden passed from this life recently. I haven't seen or talked to him in a long time. I remember we were members of a congregation in the Dallas area where he had just become an elder at that congregation. We weren't there that long. We'd moved to another place. But I remember him from many years ago. But he has passed on to his life. To meet the Lord. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, there is an appointment of every person. We're going to pass in this life. We don't know when and how that's going to take place, or it might be that the Lord himself might return in our lifetime. And that would be a tremendous event, wouldn't it? In Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus is talking about that very thing. Matthew 24, and we look down at about verse 36, he says, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's for all of us, saint and sinner alike. We don't know when this is going to happen. As a result, we must prepare ourselves. We must have that attitude of the idea that it may very well be that I pass from this life today. And that's not trying to be gloomy or morose or negative or pessimistic. It is a reality. You know, we like to say all the time, 100 years from today, we'll be on that side of life. And how foolish would it be for us not to prepare or think about this? As Paul makes the statement over 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, he's trying to convince the Corinthian brethren over there. He said, today is the day of salvation. Deal with it today. Address that most important issue in your life. And not only that, it's the idea that we need to get right with the Lord and stay right with him. When he talks about in 1 John 1, verse 7, walk in the light as he is in the light. Or in Revelation, the second chapter, in verse 10, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's these things that we're going to have to do in addressing our life, and nobody else can do it. We must prepare, and we must prepare ourselves, because we can't prepare somebody else. Let me suggest to you another thought that comes to my mind. It's not just preparing of it. As a result, we're going to be patient. That might be tougher than the first one. Being patient with things, the way things are going, the way things change in life, that the demands that are made upon us so many times, we have to be people to recognize the ups and downs of life. Life doesn't go the way we sometimes want it. Patience, somebody says, is not simply the ability to wait. That's not really patience. Patience is how we talk and think and behave while we're waiting. And the change, I've gotten to the point where I don't even like to fly. I mean, it is just such a hassle. I think, of course, I wouldn't want to drive 1,100 miles, so I would fly if I have to. But it seems like certain things like that have come to that point where it's just something you don't care to go be involved in, whereas many years ago you could enjoy it. But patience is something that is demanded of all of us. Patience is what keeps us being faithful to the Lord. That demand to keep before us always. When we read about the sower went forth to sow seed back in Luke, the 8th chapter, that one piece of ground that he comments upon and gives that it's the right one, the one we should be, is the ones who are bringing forth that fruit. Look with me at Luke, the 8th chapter, in verse 12. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Not talking about that group. They're separated from the Lord. Or verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. They're not preparing either. Verse 14, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Seems like 3/4 of the responses to the seed that's been planted don't work. But then you come to the last one, verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Even those who understand what's expected of them have a demand made upon them of patience. They have a noble and good heart. A good heart, another word for noble there, that word would be true. They have a true heart. They recognize the idea of what they're involved in and what God would demand of them. Patience. How difficult that can be so many times. Patience keeps us watching. When we think of what God would have us to do, the idea of being patient in our entire life, when we look in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, we read where Paul makes a statement down at about verse 6. He says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And when you look at that word also, you can look it up. It means the idea of being self-controlled. Are patient in what we're doing. He says, we need to be people who are faithful to the Lord. We need to be people who keep on watching and also keep on working. When we look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 58, last verse of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's have some patience about our life. When we talk about patience, it allows us to continue working for the Lord. He says, therefore, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That will keep us going in the right direction. And ultimately, as we read in the passages, he tells us patience ultimately will bring us to the Lord. Over in Hebrews, the last chapter, next to the last chapter, Hebrews 12th chapter, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A great point to be made for us. Let us lay aside every weight that so easily can upset us, and it's going to take patience, and we're going to prepare ourselves first to do that. And how important that would be. Let me suggest to you, thirdly, the idea, expect consequences. There are consequences. When we try to walk in the light as His in the light, there's going to be demands and problems that are made upon us that we've got to make decisions. When we make a choice of any kind, I don't care what we're really talking about, you're also choosing a consequence. Actions and consequences go together. And we have to be very careful about our actions, because we need to think on the other side, what's the consequence of this going to be? There's some good consequences, and there's some bad consequences. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus, most throughout this chapter, is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and he's answering some questions to them about what's going to happen. And when he comes down to the latter part of Matthew, the 24th chapter, about verse 45, he begins to sum up the chapter. Verse 45, he says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him a ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master's delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of,'" in verse 51, "'and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" There are good consequences. We can hear, "Blessed is that servant." But on the other hand, we might hear in verse 48, he says, if he begins to act in a certain way, he can be, well, and then being cut in two was the ancient word way of just simply executing a servant that was not doing as they could. Being not prepared, they didn't know God would be demanding of them. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, let me read down. In about the first chapter, we were talking about, again, the consequences could be good and bad. You know, look at verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, "And to give you who trouble rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." He says in verse 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior." There's a good consequences of being prepared, and that is, blessed is that servant. On the other hand, the bad consequences are those, as it says here, who did not know God. They will still be held accountable for the way they lived. And then secondly, and those who do not obey the gospel, not prepared. They didn't know God. They didn't obey the gospel. And as a result, when we come back to the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, we recognize that there's a demand made of us to be good stewards of what God has given unto us. Prepare yourself. We have to do that, and we have to focus our minds upon the truth of God's word. We're talking about that this morning, to be dedicated and devoted to the revelation of the Lord. We're here tonight. You're not a member of the body of Christ. This is something that we're going to have to face. All of us are described by this, but most assuredly, a person who hasn't obeyed the gospel needs to stop and look at their lives and say, am I prepared for this? It's going to happen. I am going to stand before God, and I'm going to hear, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant," or, "Depart, may you cursed." And that's something I need to honestly think about, and then realize that living a life for the Lord is one that demands of us to walk straight and narrow path. if we walk in the light, that is a demand, then we can be patient in living that life knowing that we would be blessed. But understand there are always consequences. Consequences, everything about our life, whatever we choose to do, whatever we choose to be. The idea that God wants of us to make the decision, God's already sent his son to die for us. He expects us to respond to him, not just in some faith, but in a devotion and a dedication to his word, to be a child of God that would be the one who would hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you're here tonight, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. If you're here and you're a child of God, maybe your life hadn't reflected somebody who is preparing himself, or somebody who is patient in living with the Lord and his demands, and maybe not thinking about the consequences that we're all going to have to deal with. We need to stop and think and make an examination of ourselves. Am I ready to meet the Lord? The Lord's coming back one day, and we're going to stand before him. And we're either going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or he's going to say, "Depart from me, you cursed." That's the only two that we have to choose from. If you're here this evening, you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to do so. You need to be right with God. You need to have a faith strong enough that you can confess his name, be baptized into Christ. And maybe there's a child of God here that hasn't lived with this yet. Maybe their life is not prepared to meet the Lord in judgment. It's time for us to make things right. If you're subject, would you please come as we stand and sing?